Need a cab, sir?
No, I'm right, thanks. Cheers.
Catches, Johnny. Just what is it I'm supposed to have done?
Every police car is a mobile RBT. So if you're worried about getting breath tested, you should be.
The lawyer may not be much good to you if you're going to get an on-the-spot fine these days, but it's not uncommon, is it? We see a lot of it. And if you're driving along after a night out with mates, you'll often drive straight past a roadside checkpoint. And not only alcohol, of course, the police are testing for drugs. If you've had a couple of drinks, you suddenly see the police by the road and the RBT set up. You pull over, you're not too worried. It was only a couple of beers and you've never been in trouble before, but the results come back. You're over, just scraping over into the low range. Doesn't matter. Bang, your license. It's gone for the next few months. That's the new reality of tough penalties announced by the New South Wales government today. From May 20, drink drivers caught even in the low range will have their license suspended for 3 months and will need to cough up $561. The government says it's taking a zero-tolerance approach to drink and drug driving, with the same penalties also applying for those caught driving with drugs in their system. Professor Raphael Gibietta is the Professor of Road Safety at the Transport and Road Safety Research Unit at the University of New South Wales. Raphael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on the show, Paul.
All right, I think a lot of us might know someone who's been done in the low range. Just, you know, we kind of say, oh, you're only low range, so you weren't a heinous criminal. Are we letting them off the hook? Is it serious to be driving at even that cutoff point of 0.05?
Well, let's be clear about this. When you drive at 0.05, even just slightly under or slightly over, it's about double the risk of being involved in a crash. Now, that's for a car driver. For a motorcycle driver, it's 150 to 180 times the risk of being killed.
Wow.
So it depends who you're talking to. Approximately a quarter of the deaths on Australian roads are from drink driving. So, you know, it's a serious thing that we're trying to address here in terms of the effects of alcohol on your brain and on your ability to be able to drive.
Professor Gibietta, how do we know this? Are we sitting people down at computers and giving them a couple of schooners and seeing how they go, or putting them out in cars with witches' hats? How do we know what the impact of alcohol
is? Decades of research, both in Europe, US, in Australia. There was a pretty famous summary of the data. And in fact, you can go online to the Transport Accident Commission. They've covered this off, and you can see all of the data and all the information. The National Highway Transport Safety Administration, US, has summarised all of those, all of that data, and so it's undeniable that it has an effect on you, even at very low levels. For example, with divided attention, vigilance, your perception reaction time. What you're doing, in effect, is numbing your brain when you take a drink, and it's slowing your reactions down. And it can have an effect even at low levels. So tracking with your vehicle on the road, it starts to affect it right from the start.
Can we just look at individuals within the system? We need to have rules, of course, and we've determined that 0.05 is the cutoff. That's the number beyond which we simply can't manage as a community, having anyone putting their own lives and our lives at risk on our roads.
Yes.
That applies, as I understand it, to a 70-kilo man. How different, in terms of metabolism and our capacity to tolerate alcohol, does it vary
if
from...
If you're female, you have a lot less resistance. It's also dependent on body weight. So if you're a small person, you have much lower tolerance. So in other words, your blood alcohol level goes up higher. Depends on food, whether you've eaten some food. So there is it varies for different individuals.
Okay, so this new system of applying an on-the-spot suspension of the licence, do you see that as being a good idea? Is that something that you think will have an impact?
Well, I think it's a very good idea, and in fact, what you find is Sweden and best practice countries now are going to 0.02, and I think it's time we all went to 0.02 in Australia as well, 0.02 BAC. What was found was when Canberra reduced its level from 0.08 to 0.05, there was a 34% reduction in the number of drivers, and in terms of fatalities was quite low. When Sweden went from 0.05 to 0.02, it was about a 10% reduction in fatalities. Roughly about 350 lives would be saved if we went to 0.02 over the next decade, and I think that's worth considering. So really, it's all about is allowing the BAC to remain at 0.05 worth these deaths and injuries? That's the question you've got to ask. Do we accept those deaths and injuries? And so if we accept those deaths and injuries, okay, well, leave it at 0.05, but I would like to see it at 0.02. The best thing to do is to not drink at all if you know you're going to be driving.
So is there much momentum for reducing the limit?
Yes, there is, actually. I think you'll find in the national strategy there is that's on the federal government's BITRE website. There is the Vision Zero strategy, the Safe System strategy. One of the objectives is to go to 0.02.
What about drugs when they're found in someone's system? You'll hear people who are charged saying, look, I had a joint a couple of days ago. Why is that such a bad thing?
Well, the thing is that it's all to do, as I said, with numbing your brain. If it reduces your perception reaction time when you're driving in terms of perceiving a hazard and reacting to that hazard, in terms of vigilance, in terms of tracking the vehicle, then you should not be doing that when you're wanting to drive safely. Now, how many days later? Well, that's another question. But there's been some research on that. I'm not up to date with that research, but certainly, the effects do wear off. It's like with alcohol. For every hour that your liver processes the alcohol, you reduce by one glass in terms of one glass amount in terms of alcohol content. So it takes a while for your liver to get through it all if you've had a bit of a binge night.
Professor Gibietto, we've had a call from a Newcastle resident called Susie who wants to know if something like poppy seeds would affect your alcohol or drug levels.
With poppy seeds, apparently it will. It's detectable. But then you've probably got to let them know that you've been eating poppy seeds, because the thing is to do is to request a blood test.
Yep.
Actual blood test, and but yeah, you've got to be careful with the poppy seeds, because it's an opioid.
Yeah, so losing the capacity to argue on the fringes. I mean, the point you're making is there's no excuse for going over 0.05. It's black and white. There are others who'd say, well, what's the difference between 0.049 and 0.05? For argument's sake, the new laws take away your capacity to argue that point now. Is that fair?
Yes, I think it is fair at 0.05. We've known about it for a long time. We've had that law in. There's really no excuse. As the advertisement says, with the TAC advertisement, if you're over 0.05, you're a bloody idiot. And that's valid because you know you can organise yourself a, what is it, Plan B, I think, that
yep.
In New South Wales is the way that they talk about it. And also, there are now companies which will drive your car home for you if you're over 0.05, if you really don't know. There are taxis. There are other ways of getting home. And so you can plan. I've planned. Others have planned around me, my colleagues. And so if you find yourself over the limit, well, that's just foolish planning.
Okay, good to have you on today. Thank you so much for your input.
You're most welcome.
Professor Raphael Gibietta, road safety expert, joining us here on ABC Newcastle.